The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, I'm here. Hold on, I'm just trying to get some of the streaming fixed. It is a Tuesday, and guess what? Laffy's here today. So we will join her in a moment. Bear with me. Just let me make this one change, and hopefully we can begin streaming on some of these other services that we'll see what happens. Anyway, welcome to a Tuesday, and let's see if this will work now. Sorry, I usually do this long before I get on the air. I'm a little off today. I don't know why. Maybe it's because the world has gone mad. There is some good stuff happening, though, so we'll get to that in a moment. And it worked! I love it when it works. So we are now on, it was Facebook and Twitch and Twitter and a few other places, but it's going now, so we're firing on all cylinders, I believe, as much as I can expect. Anyway, Echo, great. Of course there's an Echo. Why wouldn't there be an Echo? Let's see if I can try to figure out why, and let's see if we can make the Echo go away. Echo be gone. Okay, chat room, you're going to have to tell me if the Echo is gone. Or maybe Laffy can tell me if the Echo is gone. Echo, still echo? It's still echoing. It's not supposed to echo. All right. Well, it's still echoing. It's still echoing. Lovely. All right. Let me try. Laffy, it's still echoing? No, it's not echoing. Okay. I'm muted on your thing. Hold on. No. All right. Laffy, you're muted on my thing. There you are.
Okay. There. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Now it's good. I fixed it. The echo's gone.
Yeah, but I couldn't hear you on Zoom because you had yourself.
I was muted on Zoom.
There you go.
Okay.
Should I go away now?
Or you can come back. Should we start you?
Why not?
Okay. Hold on.
You can just do your thing while I sit here.
All right. I got to push the other button. Hold on. Here we go. Okay. Now I'm ready. You ready? It's probably going to echo again. let me do this.
No.
Hold on. I'm trying out things in a different way. And okay, let's see. Let's see what happens here. Hopefully it won't echo.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with a laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. And hopefully there's no echo.
I don't hear no stinking echo. I don't have YouTube on, yes. But you sound fine on Zoom.
Okay. No echo. We're all good. Laffy's a little, they're telling me you're a little hot.
I'm hot?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, I know. Your level, if you can pull it down on your end, I can bring you up here because you are a little, you're coming in a little hot.
It's weird because I pulled it down while we were practicing our audio stuff.
Okay.
Tell me how this is.
All right. That sounds good to me. Hopefully we're good. Okay.
Okay. What's going to happen though is I won't be able to hear you.
Oh, no. Then don't do it. I'll pull you down here.
How's this?
Okay.
Is this okay?
Yeah, we're good. It's okay. All good. Let me tell you, as you can tell, I'm a little off today. I am doing something I very rarely ever do. I'm taking a day off tomorrow. You see, my kid, she works, but her days off are Wednesday and Thursday. So I don't really get to see her. I mean, I'll go to her house sometimes on a Saturday or Sunday morning and hang out for an hour or two before she goes to work. But we don't get to hang out. And we're celebrating because I got good news last week. And so tomorrow we're going to go to the beach because you see how pale I am? I live in South Florida. I haven't been to the beach in at least 2 years. But figure a year and a half of that I've been home with the, hiding from the COVID. So tomorrow we're having the beach day. So
yay.
What we're going to do, Gary Ballard in the YouTube chat room says you're hot.
Thank you.
Thought I'd just pass that along. Anyway.
Apparently need glasses, but that's cool.
Right. So I pulled a show. I thought, what show? You know, I don't like just running a show that ran last week because you just heard it last week. And I thought instead of going back a number of years, we're going to go back to January 20th, the day of the inauguration day. Harvey J.K. was on the program that day. And all the events of the day, it was an exciting, it was a good day. It was a really good day. So that's the show that'll air tomorrow. It won't be on YouTube. It won't be on video. So you can listen on the Progressive Voices Network. You can listen at NicoleSandler.com/listen-live. You can listen on my audio stream, which is at NicoleSandlerStream.com. There's all kinds of ways to listen. Or you can get the podcast, because I will podcast it out as well. Anyway, so, Biden's speaking now? All right.
Biden. I was just going to tell you that.
Oh, man. Okay.
Apparently, he's speaking about his economic plan.
His what?
The economic plan, rather. As opposed to Afghanistan, he's starting out with
seriously
domestic stuff.
All right, hold on. Let me bring him up because, I've got C-SPAN up and I've got an NBC News story up that Michael Avenatti's trial was ended in a mistrial.
And it was something to do with
again.
Bad government. The
prosecutors didn't give them the information they were supposed to get. So
wealthy just okay. to pay Here, their fair
here's
share.
Here's Joe Biden.
They can still be very wealthy. They can still make a lot of money, but just begin to pay their fair share.
That would be nice.
So we can invest in making our country stronger and more competitive.
People paying their
Create
fair share.
Create jobs and raise wages and lift up the standard of living for everyone. The bottom line is, in my view, we're a step closer to truly investing in the American people, positioning our economy for long-term growth, and building an America that outcompetes the rest of the world. My goal is to build an economy from the bottom up and the middle out, not just the top down.
Okay.
And that's what we're on our way of doing.
Okay.
Look, I want to thank Speaker Pelosi, who was masterful in her leadership on this, and Leader Hoyer and Whip Clyburn and Chairman DeFazio, the entire House leadership team, for the hard work, dedication, and determination to bring people together so we can make a difference in people's lives. I also want to thank every Democrat in the House who worked so hard over the past few weeks to reach an agreement and who supported the process for House consideration of the Jobs and Infrastructure Plan, the Build Back Better effort. There were differences, strong points of view. They're always welcome. What is important is that we came together to advance our agenda. I think everyone who did that, I think everyone who did it was there.
He does the same thing that Trump used to do when he'd screw up on the teleprompter. He tried.
Yep.
But that's what you do. You try to make it better.
It's an act to restore and expand voting protections, to prevent voter suppression.
These all passed, by
the
way. Finally, after all that back and forth and agita.
The right to vote fairly and the right to have your vote counted. The House is active.
Yes.
The Senate also has to join them to send this important bill to my desk.
Yes.
And the Senate has to move forward on the People's Act.
The For the People Act.
Critical legislation to protect
our
democracy.
The For the People Act.
We need both of those.
Not the People's Act.
Those election bills. But let me now turn to Afghanistan.
Yes, please.
I've met this morning with my counterparts in the G7.
Yeah.
As well as heads of the United Nations, NATO, and the European Union.
Yeah.
I express my thanks for the solidarity we have seen as we've stood up an unprecedented global effort. I updated our partners on the significant progress we made in the past 10 days.
Okay.
As of this afternoon, we've helped evacuate 70,700 people just since August the 14th.
That's a lot.
75,900 people since the end of July. Just in the past 12 hours, another 19 U.S. military flights, 18 C-17s and one C-130 carrying approximately 6,400 evacuees, and 31 coalition flights carrying 5,600 people have left Kabul just in the last 12 hours.
Okay.
A total of 50 more flights, 12,000 more people since I updated you this morning. These numbers are a testament to the efforts of our brave servicewomen and men, to our diplomats on the ground in Kabul, and to our allies still standing with us.
Uh-huh.
And we had a productive discussion. There was strong agreement among the leaders about both about the evacuation mission underway, as well as the need to coordinate our approach to Afghanistan as we move forward. First, on evacuation, we agreed that we will continue to close cooperation to get people out as efficiently and safely as possible. We are currently on a pace to finish by August the 31st. The sooner we can finish, the better. Each day of operations brings added risk to our troops. But the completion by August 31st depends upon the Taliban continuing to cooperate and allow access to the airport for those who were transporting out and no disruptions to our operations. In addition, I've asked the Pentagon and the State Department for contingency plans to adjust the timetable should that become necessary.
Okay.
I'm determined to ensure that we complete our mission, this mission.
Good.
I'm also mindful of the increasing risks that I've been briefed on and the need to factor those risks in. They're real.
Okay.
Significant challenges that we
All right. Do we need to keep listening? I mean, we got it.
The longer we stay, starting with the acute and growing risk of an attack by a terrorist group known as ISIS-K.
Oh.
An ISIS affiliate in Afghanistan.
Lovely.
Which is a sworn enemy of the Taliban as well. Every day we're on the ground is another day we know that ISIS-K is seeking to target the airport and attack both U.S. and allied forces and innocent civilians. Additionally, thus far, the Taliban have been taking steps to work with us so we can get our people out.
Okay.
But it's
you know what, Laffy,
situation.
I'm going to bail out of this because we've heard it. We know what he's saying. What he did say that I thought was interesting is that that the timeline remains somewhat fluid, right? That he said the deadline is still August 31st, but if he needs to stay longer, he will. I think he's going to do, you know, play it by ear, but he doesn't want to you know, to poke the sleeping tiger. Not that the Taliban is sleeping, but why rile them up if it's not necessary? If he can get out by August 31st, no need to alert them that we may stay longer. See what happens. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but everything I was reading was that he said he's leaving, you know,
by August 31st. But
yeah,
I think what he's doing is saying, and things could change. Obviously,
well, yeah, which
this
he
is
should,
a fluid situation.
Which he should say.
Yes.
But I don't understand where the other, here, we are currently on a pace to complete our mission on August 31st.
By August 31st, right.
I am determined to complete our mission. Notes rising risk. There have been no U.S. casualties. No, I'm just, what I'm not understanding is why everybody was reporting that, it, you know, he was getting out on August 31st when he's really not.
Well, I think he is. I think that is his drop dead goal. But, you know, shit happens. And if they need to stay an extra week, then they stay an extra week. I mean,
No, absolutely. All I'm saying is everything I read was that that's not what he was doing. And so he's being more flexible than I had been reading about.
Right. Well, you know what I want to do?
Which he should be, yes, I think.
He absolutely should be. So last night, I happened to catch a segment of Lawrence O'Donnell.
Really good.
Really good. And it was basically what I was trying to say very clumsily yesterday and you know, last week as well, talking about the way the media is treating this and how when you lose a war, sorry, it ain't pretty. Somebody, Michael Beschloss, put up a picture of, you know, a parade for the troops as we were leaving Europe after World War II. Very different than the situation today. And one of these idiot so-called journalists who for some reason are all over finger-pointing right now, you know, drew a correlation between you're not seeing that in Afghanistan. Well, we didn't lose World War II. We lost this war. And Joe Biden didn't lose this war. We lost this war, a number of presidents. It went on for 20 years. There's lots of blame to go around. But if you listen to a lot of these journalists who are supposed to be objective, they're anything but. And they are pointing fingers and they're placing blame. There's a conversation going on in the YouTube chat room about CNN ragging on Biden again today. So
everybody is.
Everybody is. So it was, I mean, Lawrence O'Donnell said the words that I've been trying to say, but he said them a whole lot better. Now, the segment ran like 11 minutes. I'm not going to play the 11 minutes for you. But I will post it on the blog at NicoleSandler.com under today, where today's show is posted. So it'll be NicoleSandler.com/8-24-21. But what I want to play for you is, first, he talked a lot about what happened with Vietnam. When we left Vietnam, we were being shot at. Not only didn't we get all our people out of there, we left a lot of people behind. I'm going to play for you a bit of from the first segment. This is not the very beginning. I'm just going in to the middle of the very first part of this to just catch Lawrence in midstream, and we'll get the gist of what he's saying here.
There is a better way of doing it, and we know how to do it better. If you are rowing a boat in a hurricane and it sinks, do we call that a debacle, or do we call that inevitable? When you hear people calling the evacuation from Afghanistan a debacle, ask them, compared to what?
Compared to what?
When has any country ever evacuated from a foreign war that they lost in a way that is better than what we are seeing now? The answer is never.
Exactly.
This is the best version of an evacuation from a lost war that the world has ever seen. That doesn't make it good. That doesn't make it orderly.
Nope.
That doesn't make it safe for everyone involved. But it does mean that nothing else was realistically possible.
Okay, so that was the, I cut it into three pieces. I'm going to play for you the final piece, the way he wrapped this all up. But again, I will post the entire segment, and I hope you watch it, because it was that good. I mean, we stopped what we were doing and watched it. So here's how he wrapped it up.
We believe we are making enormous progress.
This is Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, and he's playing an explanation from him about how the evacuation is going.
We believe we are making enormous progress. And taking a step back, a week ago, I don't think almost anyone in this briefing room would have thought we'd be standing here today with 37,000 people already evacuated from the country.
That was yesterday.
Enormous progress. That's the phrase he just used.
Mm-hmm.
You will not see those words in headlines written by a news media that is committed to the debacle story.
No,
the Biden
won't.
Administration has made enormous progress over the last time we did this in the evacuation from Vietnam. The next time we lose a foreign war and flee that country, you will see these images again, because no one in history, no country has ever evacuated from a lost war without the kind of final images we saw in Vietnam and the final images we are seeing now in Afghanistan.
No operation like this, no evacuation from a capital that has fallen in a civil war, could unfold without those images.
Let me be clear. The evacuation of thousands of people from Kabul is going to be hard and painful, no matter when it started, when we began.
Yeah.
Would have been true if we had started a month ago or a month from now. There is no way to evacuate this many people without pain and loss of heartbreaking images you see on television. It's just a fact. My heart aches for those people you see.
So an evacuation operation in a dangerous situation was going to have to happen at some point. And when you run an operation like that, when you are trying to position assets to go in and secure an airfield in a city that has been taken by opposing forces with a government that's collapsed, your contingency plan is going to hit head on with reality, and there are going to be complexities and challenges and difficulties, and you work through them. You make adjustments, and you ultimately get an operation going that is moving out thousands, if not tens of thousands of people daily. That is what we have accomplished over the course of the week.
Yeah.
And so you can look at the evacuation from Afghanistan and say it's a mess and chaotic, which it is.
Yeah.
And you can look at the evacuation from Afghanistan and say it is the best organized evacuation by the American military and the State Department from a war we have lost.
Absolutely.
Which it is.
It is.
It is impossible
no
to lose a foreign
killed.
War and evacuate that country
flying,
safely and honorably, leaving no one behind.
Right.
That has never happened
never happened
in human history, and it was not going to happen in Afghanistan. and the American news media's naive presumption that the evacuation from Afghanistan could have run smoothly is part of the naive belief system in the American military's invincibility that allowed the Afghanistan war to go on for 20 years.
Hello. Hello. You know, good for him for saying this, because aside from maybe a handful of others, Mehdi Hasan has been saying the same kind of stuff. All of cable newsdom and broadcast newsdom is, you know, just like, they're leaving people there. Oh, my God. Vietnam, we left everybody there. Go back and criticize Gerald Ford. Go back and say, oh, you can't have these false equivalencies. We lost this war.
Not only that, but the speed with which it happened.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was like vultures from all directions just shooting down. I was critical at first because I thought it could have started earlier. But then it was Biden saying, if I started a month ago, if I started a month from now, it would have been the same.
But here's the thing. The people, here's the issue I have. So there are Americans in Afghanistan. Now, you know, the state that we're, again, journalists are all over the State Department for not having an exact number of how many Americans are there. It's voluntary. If you're an American, you go to another country, it's up to you to register with the embassy. And when you leave, you're supposed to also let the embassy know that you're leaving. People don't. So it's voluntary. So they don't have accurate information counts on how many Americans are there. They probably have some idea, but it's not going to be completely accurate. That's not on them. That's on the people. Now, if you're an American living in Afghanistan and you hear Donald Trump cut a deal with the Taliban and we're going to be out in May, and then Joe Biden gets elected and he said, okay, we're going to be out by September 11th. Wouldn't you make arrangements to leave before then?
I mean, when they were doing the press conference today, Kirby, the press secretary, kept getting asked that question. How many? How many?
Right.
How many?
I don't know.
And he said, I can't tell you. It's between like 100 and 10,000.
Right.
He said, I can't tell you. I don't know. I can't possibly pinpoint that for you.
And that's why. Because it's up to the people to tell the embassy that they're there. And they don't. People don't. Did you ever? I've not traveled to Europe. When I went to Kazakhstan to adopt my daughter, the embassy knew I was there because I had to file paperwork with them. But when you've traveled abroad, have you ever checked in with the embassy and said, I'm an American and I'm here visiting?
Nope.
You don't. People don't. And it's on you. There's no way the government knows you're there if you don't tell them you're there.
Right.
Yes. And they knew months ago that we were leaving. So why wait till the very last minute? Till after the last minute? Till it's too late? And then blame it on the government that they should, you know, get you out?
I think I have a couple of tweets about some of this stuff, how they're blaming him. I mean, did they say a thing, by the way, when Trump invited the Taliban to Camp David?
Really? And Mike Pompeo took the picture with, what's his name, Baradar, who was in prison. We put him in jail because he's a fucking terrorist. We locked him up along with 5,000 other Taliban fighters, and Donald Trump released them. And this man, Baradar, who is now the head Taliban guy, Trump let out of jail and Mike Pompeo sat there with him. There's pictures of them all over the internet. Yet Mike Pompeo is going on TV and blaming Joe Biden for this.
That's what they do. I mean, the things that they say about everything are so utterly ridiculous. Here, Lawrence O'Donnell just tweeted, evacuated from Afghanistan after Kabul fell, 70,700. Evacuated from Vietnam after Saigon fell, zero.
Zero. Zero. People have short memories. And I get a lot of these reporters weren't even born then. We were. I remember. I was a kid, but I remember the fall of Saigon. I remember the pictures of them, you know, rushing up on rooftops to jump on the helicopters and leave while they're being fired at. That's how you leave a war you lost. Now, inconceivably, the Biden administration is talking with the Taliban. I guess Trump opened that door. But he's doing it to try to get people out as quickly as possible without any casualties. And that's what's amazing. since we're pulling out, there haven't been any casualties. I mean, the Taliban is fucking with people who are trying to get to the airport.
Right.
Right. And that's not a good thing. But we don't have troops on the ground anymore. But nobody has been killed trying to escape.
Right. So far, none of that. AOC just tweeted, the House just passed H.R. 4, restoring the Voting Rights Act of 1965, but our work isn't done. The Senate must also pass H.R. 1, which would enact automatic voting registration, vote by mail, and early voting in every state. It also ends partisan gerrymandering and much more. Somebody writes, liar. What?
Oh, my God. I hate people. I just really hate people.
Yes.
In case you were wondering.
Can I join you?
I hate people. So I'm taking a day off.
Oh, I don't blame you at all.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. All right. Well, should we do some of my tweeties?
Okay. All right. Then, all right. Are you ready to let the birdies out?
Yeah, the birdies.
Cover your head.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay, so hey, I have a Twitter. I have a tweet that's
a tweet
sort of maybe kind of going viral.
Yeah, you got over a couple hundred at least.
There's already 300 likes on it.
300 up.
300.
Okay, I was at likes. 280 when I checked it.
So what I tweeted was, so the brand name for the Pfizer COVID vaccine is Comirnaty. Comirnaty. I said, they should have just gone with Covefi.
Yeah, see?
And
where's your drum roll?
Oh, shoot. Hold on. I need my rim shot. It is. Thank you. Thank you very much. We're here all week. Except for tomorrow.
Try the deal. Except for tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me move my Zoom out of the way so I can actually read these.
Okay.
The sadness about Charlie Watts passing away.
Charlie Watts died. So, you know, the Rolling Stones are going on tour again. Really? Charlie Watts was 80 years old when he died. Mick Jagger, I believe, is 78. Good on them that they still can, well, not Charlie, but the rest of the band can still, Mick can still jump around the stage. And Keith Richards is still standing somehow, inconceivably.
I don't know how he is.
But it's so weird.
If anyone was going to die, I would have thought him.
So last night, when I'm in the shower, play music, you know, the iPod's playing and it's on one of my playlists and the John Hiatt song Slow Turning comes on. And there's a line in it where he yells at the kids in the back seat because they're banging like a Charlie Watts. And I heard that line and I thought, you know, I can't believe they're going to go out on what's going to be their last tour without Charlie Watts. How can you do that? And then today he dies. Oh, my God.
Never ask questions like that again. You're a jinx.
I guess.
All right. Well, LOL GOP says, and this is a nice thoughtful tweet.
Yeah.
Charlie Watts was fantastic, but without diminishing his memory, I hope this helps spark even more appreciation for Ringo. We have the Beatles rhythm section alive right now, and humanity must do more to appreciate that.
And I
loved Ringo when I was a teen.
And I've met Ringo. I have a picture with Ringo.
Ah!
I'll find it while you keep tweeting. I do. He's the one and only Beatle I ever met. And somebody asked me earlier, did I ever meet any of the Rolling Stones? No, I never met a Rolling Stone.
I saw Ringo heckle somebody. I went to see Dudley Moore and Michael, they were a team.
Bublé. Michael Bublé?
No, they were a comedy team.
They were a comedy team? Dudley Moore?
It was Dudley Moore and I forgot. Anyway. And they have this whole act, this whole thing. And Ringo came in and is part of the audience, obviously. There was no fuss, you know.
Right.
He was just part of the audience. Oh, he was drunk. And this is before he was sober again, you know, where he was obviously an alcoholic and he's admitted to that is a recovering alcoholic. And we kept I mean, we were in the Schubert in LA, which doesn't exist anymore. No. So it's a big theater. And he's heckling him from the middle of the theater. He didn't have a close-up seat where he could just sort of say things. He was way back in like row L or something.
Wow.
And he's heckling him.
Oh, my God. Did they like invite him up on the stage or anything?
No,
did they realize it was him?
I don't remember. Honestly, I don't remember.
Did they know if it was Ringo?
I don't know, but I knew. And the people around him knew.
How funny.
And I was like, no,
oh, so you were
this.
There? You were in the audience while
this
was happening?
I was behind him. I was like about three or four rows behind him.
Oh, my.
And I was like, that's Ringo. Oh, my God. Because I was a Beatlemaniac, and he was my favorite one at the time.
Aww.
Him and John.
Yeah.
And
here's
I was,
Ringo.
I was,
here's me and Ringo.
Hello. Hello, Ringo.
Hello.
Hello. Anyway, but I really...
Peter Cook. David says it's Peter Cook.
Peter Cook. Thank you.
There you go.
That's right.
There you go.
Very good. Anyway, onward.
Onward. Okay, wait. I got to take the Ringo picture down. So there's my proof that I did meet a Beatle. Ringo Starr, everybody. Yes.
So cool.
Yes. Peace sign. Okay, go on.
Okay.
Next.
okay, so David Waldman.
Yes.
Kegro X. He over this tweet by who is this person? Dan Nowicki. He's the Arizona Republic's national politics editor.
Okay.
He tweeted new COVID-19 outbreak among cyber ninjas staff delays a delivery of the full Arizona Senate.
Amazing.
I'm going to say fraud.
Yep.
All right. So two-parter by David. One, if they ask to submit their report by mail due to COVID-19, that's fraud right there. Oh my God. And then he goes on to say, incredibly ironic that the election is being audited, in quotes, over and over again, because people are suspicious of the allowances we made due to the danger of widespread illness during a pandemic. And now the quote, auditors are sick and want allowances.
Oh my God. The whole thing.
That's fraud right there. If they do it by mail. Oh my God. It was all caps. He did it so well with a bunch of exclamation points. He was so trolly. I love when David gets trolly.
He's a funny guy. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he's hilarious. Well. Oh my God. His hashtags. There was a time when he was doing hashtags for whenever there was a shooting. And he had this, I ended up copying them all because they were all so good, but they were, I can't remember at the time what they were, dry, you know, like, I can't remember. Never mind. I'm not going to even try.
Never mind.
But he's so good. Anyway, LOL GOP again. Yeah. Now we're on to Afghanistan.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. So, he's tweeting this over a report about how many people were evacuated. 21,600 people were evacuated from Kabul. This is the result of 37 U.S. military flights, blah, 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 since August 14th. This is from, for 8 hours ago. The U.S. has evacuated and facilitated the evacuation of approximately 58,700 people since the end of July, 63,900 people. Okay, so LOL GOP said, another 21,000 Afghans evacuated. Anyone who doesn't revise its condemnations of this withdrawal is now just arguing against the withdrawal. And most of those clowns are literally the guys who lost the war 20 years ago.
There you go. So add LOL GOP to our good guy column, who's actually speaking the truth. You know, these journalists who Jake Tapper is really pissed me off last week because he was
what a
just
surprise.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
I thought you were going to go on about Jake Tapper.
No, just I'm so over it. I'm just so over it.
I'm so tired of it too. So Kate Sullivan, D.C. She says CNN's Clarissa Ward in Kabul. I'm sitting here for 12 hours in the airport, 8 hours on the airfield, and I haven't seen a single U.S. plane take off. How on earth are you going to evacuate 50,000 people in the next 2 weeks? It just can't happen. And so then Chris Murphy says, the congressperson. In fact, it didn't take 2 weeks to evacuate 50,000. It took 10 days. Lots of work still to do, but it might be time for a bit of reassessment by the media of this operation, given the actual results.
And you know, there was a time, Clarissa Ward,
she did
a good job. Yes, that was Senator Chris Murphy who said that.
I said representative, I'm
right.
sorry.
But Clarissa Ward, who did some fine reporting.
Yeah.
Got a little bit in front of herself. Clarissa Ward, stick to the facts, leave the opinions to the opinion people. And
I just need you to shut the fuck up, cause nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
You have no idea how often I let that loose on the television. I just need you to shut the fuck up because no one asked you, bitch. Sorry.
Me too. Me. You know, that's where I got when I was doing my blunt videos.
Yeah.
It was because I was always screaming at the TV and I wanted somebody to hear me and I wanted to be blunt about it.
Yep.
And so that's when I had the idea to have people send me videos and be blunt and say what they wanted to say to the TV.
Okay.
That's how it started.
Right. We miss those blunt videos.
Well, it's pointless now because everyone does them.
I know.
They all,
I know. They're everywhere now. You used to be like the only one. It would be,
I was the only one. And it was like pulling teeth to get people to, one, send them to me in a timely manner before the news changed. And two, make them under 1 minute, which was pointless.
Right.
I had
right.
to always edit them down. It was so annoying. Anyway, there's this Republican candidate named Billy Prem. P-R-E-M-P-E-H.
Prempeh.
And he tweeted on August 20th, Biden thinks forcing your children to wear masks in schools is more important than getting the thousands of Americans trapped in Afghanistan back home safely. Let that sink in.
Make it stop.
Our buddy Schooley said, how many Americans have been evacuated since this tweet while Republicans are still trying to play dumb, dangerous politics with the kids here? Boing.
Yep.
Bing.
Hey, who's, never mind.
Oh, no.
No, to the politicians, I was going to start singing Shut the Fuck Up again, but I didn't know exactly who I was aiming it at. So,
Yeah, well, whoever, it doesn't make any difference. Can still say
all
shut
of
the
them
fuck up, shut the fuck up. All right, so here's David Waldman again.
Oh,
it's rare that I have two of his in one sitting.
Okay,
all right, so The Hill does a quote, Biden's weak leadership is now America's top national security threat. That's from The Hill opinion. So David Waldman says the former guy having been an actual agent of a hostile foreign government.
Wait a minute.
I mean, come on. Biden is getting our troops and our men and our women and our hopefully as many interpreters and helpers as he can out of a lose-lose deadly situation. And people are on his case for that? Seriously? This is what we've been asking for 15
right.
years.
You know, would you rather do? Leave our troops there? Just, leave them for another 5, 10, 15, 20
years?
It wouldn't
make a difference.
But here's the thing. It would cost us trillions of dollars. You know, Lucas Kuntz, who's been on the show now twice, he was on once with Howie because he's running for the U.S. Senate from Missouri to replace Roy Blunt. And so he's a Blue America endorsed candidate. So he came on with me and Howie. And then I had him on last week because he is an Iraq and Afghanistan vet.
He's really good.
And
he was on last night.
He was on Lawrence last night. He was also on Mehdi Hassan's show last night. And he was on with me. When was it? Friday? Whenever it was. So he was on with me last
week. Very well spoken. I love the way he's just very blunt.
A really nice guy. And
seems so.
Right. And he's saying the same thing. It was inevitable. It was inevitable from the time we went in.
He said we were lied to. That's what
I loved.
He said
all along.
We were lied to over and over again.
And over
absolutely.
Again.
Yes.
Yep. So, no, he's great. So I was glad to see that Mehdi had him on and Lawrence had him on. And so he's making the rounds. But that's so his name is getting out there. Senate. Missouri. And you know who the head, it's going to be an open seat because Roy Blunt is retiring. So it'll be an open seat.
Yeah.
You know who his main candidate from the Republicans is? Do you remember the governor, Eric Greitens? He had some kind of like an affair. Like there was really sleazy. It was sleazy as hell.
And who's running against him?
Yes. So
really?
he had to resign as governor. Let me find the story
because
it was so It was nasty. Eric Greitens, okay, he's an author, former Navy SEAL, who's the 56th governor of Missouri from January 2017 till his resignation in June of 2018. He was charged with, felony invasion of privacy and later with campaign-related offenses. He was indicted on felony charges of computer tampering in April 2018. All charges were dropped, but he resigned from office after the Missouri legislature commenced a special session to consider impeachment. Okay.
And he's right. That's who he's. If he
his,
can't. Oh,
his
God.
Former hairdresser accused him of sexual assault. A bipartisan special investigative committee in the Missouri State Legislature found the woman, quote, overall credible and issued a report on the incident. And now he's running for Senate from Missouri.
He wasn't charged? Or?
I don't think he was charged. They dropped the charges for some reason.
Why?
Who knows? In February 2020, the Missouri Ethics Commission reported that its campaign investigation did not find wrongdoing on his part individually or that he knew of two reporting issues that it found with his campaign. Also in early 2018, his former hairdresser accused him of sexual assault. And the Special Investigative Committee found the woman overall credible and issued a report, but it doesn't look like he was arrested or anything. But he was run out of office, run out of the governor's office, so now he'll just go on and try to be the senator.
Well, he sounds like a perfect candidate.
Oh, God. Yeah. Republicans. Yeah.
That's it's like a prerequisite to be a total asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know what? He'll probably win just because he's
God,
a total asshole.
Well, but, you know, we have Lucas Coons. I got the funniest thing, though.
God,
when
really
I first
good.
Had him on the show, you know, his last name is spelled K-U-N-C-E.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time he was on, I'm like, I started to say his name. I'm like, how do you pronounce it? Because if you mispronounce your name, it could go horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Because it would be Kuntz, right?
Yes,
So Mehdi Hasan last night starts introducing him. He's Lucas Kuntz?
Did he?
Kuntz. Okay. And he went on. He didn't allude to the mispronunciation would be Kuntz, but he stumbled over the name and said something about the pronunciation, and I just cracked up. I thought it was hysterical.
I feel sorry for him growing up.
Kuntz. It's Kuntz.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Here's another thing about a Texas Republican. Let's see. Texas Republican says the best way, this is from the Daily Kos.
Okay.
The best way to handle climate change is to, quote, turn the damn air conditioner up. It's that simple. And I said, no, it is you who are simple, you climate crisis denying moron. Who the hell? Let's see if I can get the full quote. I'm sorry. I've got things popping up all over the place.
Damn
Skip
pop-ups.
Action. Go away. Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm getting pop-ups.
Is it
Stop
mine?
That. Okay. No, it's not. I put a blocker on yours, an ad blocker up finally.
Gotcha.
I've totally lost it. Sorry. Is this him? Rather than $78 trillion in spending, shutting down the industries around the world, keeping third world countries from having coal generated electric power and all kinds of things, turn the damn. Yeah, that's it. Rather than $78 trillion in spending, shutting down the industries around the world, keeping third world countries from having coal generated electric power and all kinds of things, turn the damn air conditioner up. It's that simple.
Oh, God.
Because it's hot out.
Right. Yeah, that'll do the trick. Right.
Everyone knows you fix climate change by making it cooler.
Speaking of climate change, how's this for a segue? So RC in the chat room just notified us that on this day in history, Hurricane Andrew hit in 1992. I was here. I was living in Los Angeles at the time, but my father had a horrible accident. He was pushed. Long story short, left him quadriplegic. So I was flying home to Miami constantly first I was here for a couple of weeks and then I would come home on weekends. That's when I was working with Mark and Brian. So I'd work with them during the week. I'd hop on a plane Friday afternoon, fly home to Florida. And then by the time I was coming home like once a month or something. So I had this weekend planned to be home with my dad. He was newly out of the hospital, quadriplegic. We didn't have a van for him yet. The nurse said, I got to be home with my family. So I'm there alone with my dad his house that it was right on the Broward-Dade County line. And where the power went out, I'm watching a Watchman TV. Remember those little portable televisions?
Yes! Oh,
and I see the radar, and it's headed straight down the Broward-Dade County line. I'm like, oh my God, it's coming right at us. And we couldn't leave because I had no way to transport him. And then all of a sudden it took a left turn and went south. Thank God.
Oh.
But it, you know, we had good hurricane shutters on, and I likened it to, I felt like I was in a Twilight Zone episode.
I bet.
And aliens were hitting the house from every direction. They were coming from the roof, from on the walls. It was hitting, and couldn't look out the window because the shutters were closed.
Right.
That
must be frustrating.
Frightening. It was scary as shit. So I went through that, and then it was a Sunday night, Monday morning. Monday morning, I called into Mark and Brian first time. And while I was on the phone with them, I walked outside for the first time and trees were down and it was amazing. But so I lived through Andrew, and then I lived through the Northridge earthquake, and I was just waiting for the locusts next. And I don't know which is worse, because with an earthquake, you have no warning. So, you know,
but it keeps going and with the aftershocks.
Right. So it jolts. And, that's a long story, too. I should have been dead that day, but I took the day off, something I don't often do. And so it stopped shaking, and then the aftershocks come. But
those are awful.
And it's really frightening. The hurricane, the thing that's bad about the hurricane is you know it's coming. You're watching it come, and it's like waiting. And then the storm lasts, 12 hours or something.
Yeah, it's
the earthquake, it's over, but then you have
then the aftershocks last for months. I mean, it's not even over in 12 hours.
Right. No, that's
true. You go on and on. I mean,
that's true.
I've lived in LA my whole life, and I don't like earthquakes. They're loud.
Oh, they're scary. They're scary. And it's been since Northridge that LA's had a big earthquake. That was the last big one.
That was the last
one. And that was 93, I think.
Yeah, we had one in 71.
That was before I was there. Right.
It wasn't as bad. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It was enough that it woke me up and I was terrified, but it didn't wreck anything.
Yeah.
But I mean, in our area.
Right.
I ended up going I was at UCLA then, and I was going to UCLA and I was in class, and I was like, God, I'm so scared. I don't even want to be here. What if there's an earthquake while we're here in this building? And it was my first time with a bigger earthquake. I was terrified.
It was scary.
But the Northridge quake was horrible. I thought it was, quote, the big one, and it wasn't.
I know.
That's the thing. Well,
I had been through a couple of minor ones, little rattlers, but this was the first big one I ever went through. And again, I slept in that day because it was Martin Luther King Day, and I decided I was taking the day off because I hadn't had a day off, since before the holidays, right? This was in January. So.
Right.
On the Friday, I said, you know what? I'm taking Monday off. So out of character for me. Normally, at 4:30 in the morning, I was in the shower because I produced a morning show. My shower, when I moved into this cute little shower on apartment by Santa Monica Beach, had a little, a bench in the bathtub shower, and there was a full-length mirror in it. It was just there, and I never thought twice about it. When I went home when I got back to the apartment after the earthquake, the mirror was in a million tiny pieces in that shower. I would have been dead. I would have been dead. And so something in me kept me from being there, but frightening, but that
Who
scares
puts
me.
A mirror in the,
I don't know. You know, it was there. I didn't think about it. And I think, oh, well, we get earthquakes here. I shouldn't have this in the bathtub.
Unless it's what's the word when glass is, there's a word, and they make it so glass just shatters, but it stays
together.
Not
like a windshield. This is not that. This was a big floor, full-length mirror that was just leaning in the show. It was in a million pieces.
I just remember after the earthquake, the Northridge earthquake, walking out. Well, I cut myself on glass because I was crawling to my kid's room, and I didn't realize that a bunch of wine glasses had fallen and broken on the floor, and I was just crawling over them, and all of a sudden I feel something and it's all wet, and I'm like, what am I in? And it's my blood. Anyway, but the next day, driving around and It was horrifying.
It's horrifying. Well, you know, and to go into work, I would take the 10 freeway and get off at La Cienega and turn right, go down La Cienega. The radio station was just down the block, you know, a little about half a mile down the block. Mm-hmm. The freeway collapsed at La Cienega.
Yes, I remember in a few places there were problems with the freeway.
Right there,
yes.
It came down. Oy, so everything about it was right. But one of the reasons I'm talking about this is California is now in the midst of a recall election.
No shit.
Oh, my God. So you have your ballots already. They've got to be in by September
14th? Oh, I turned mine in the day I got it.
Can I show you who is in the lead? Who is leading on the Republican side?
Or is it Larry Elder still?
Larry Elder. Larry Elder. You know, I worked at KLOS with Mark and Brian. Larry Elder was on the air at KABC. It was our sister station.
I remember.
We were in the same building. He was horrible then, and he's still horrible now. This is Larry Elder, in case you're wondering
awful.
What he sounds like.
When you look at all these women that have marched, something like 2 million women, Donald Trump has probably gotten more obese women off the couch and in the streets working out than Michelle Obama did in 8 years.
That's who
Do
California,
you think Larry Elder should be the next?
That's who California might put in office.
They're investigating him now too for
apparently he brandished a gun. His ex-fiance said he
no, but it's a financial issue.
Oh,
it's
really? Well, then there's a few different things they're looking into because his ex-girlfriend or fiance said he brandished a loaded gun at her.
You know, I'm not sure it was that obvious. I think he went toward his. He had a gun there.
Yep.
There were different versions of the story. And, you know, so there's that, definitely that. But I should look it up for you and see.
But he's bad news. But here's the thing. The Democrats, I think, are screwing this up. I mean, the whole thing is just stupid. So you get a ballot and there's a question. Do you support the recall? And you're supposed to say no, obviously.
But then income disclosure.
Okay. They're telling people, you should tell us because you filled out the ballot, that you check no. And then they're telling you, and then the next question is, if he is recalled, who would you?
Right. Pick? There's two questions. So yeah, obviously, yes or no.
Yeah.
Then you turn this page and there's 1,000 names. And I even had somebody I voted for. We can get into that in a second. That's I got from our friend Dave Johnson because I had no idea who to vote for at all. None of the names made sense to me. It took me, I swear to God, it took me 5 minutes to find his name on that ballot.
Oh,
it wasn't alphabetical.
There's like 41 names appearing.
Yeah, it was, and they're all ridiculous. And so I finally found it, you know, and my whole family is voting for this person.
But the Democratic Party is saying don't even write in a name, just say no, which is really fucking stupid.
Stupid, because a Republican could win with 10% of the vote.
That's right.
If whoever gets the most votes
wins.
Wins.
I mean, it's stupid.
So Larry Elder could get 18% of the vote
or less, and still win.
Or less and win because of our stupid system. We shouldn't be doing this anyway.
Right.
We shouldn't
and
have this
then
recall.
Check this out. No, you shouldn't be having a recall. And check this out. Say the unimaginable happens and Larry Elder gets in and he's now the governor, even if it's only for a year or a year and a half, right?
Right. Because 2022 we do
2022 again. Election. Diane Feinstein is 88 years old?
1,000 years old, and she's not doing that well.
And she's not doing well. And if something happens to her, the governor gets to choose a replacement. That would flip control of the Senate
And she will not budge.
She won't go.
She won't budge on that. She's hesitating on the filibuster.
Everything.
I mean,
she's horrible.
Just horrible. I've never liked her anyway, but, you know. But anyway, Larry Elder, there's an investigation into his campaign's financial filings.
Ugh. I'm sorry. A radio host does not belong as president. He is unqualified. There's nothing that makes him qualified for this job. It's like, I'm sorry, making me president. I am not qualified.
I'm going to switch to something silly and funny because I'm getting really upset right now.
Okay, good. Take it away.
I love my state, but I really hate this. Rudy Giuliani.
What now?
Says to celebrate. Common Sense is one of the top political podcasts in the country because of you. And then there's a little flag, a little American flag. And then he says to celebrate, I have partnered with the inventor of MyPillow to get a great discount to my supporters. Right now at MyPillow.com, you can get deals up to 66% off with promo code Rudy. And then there's a big picture of Mike Lindell saying, buy direct at MyPillow. Thanks for your support. Oh, 66%. So they can't get rid of MyPillows because they're, you know, they're now 66, two-thirds off. And I said, is there a hair dye-resistant pillowcase included? Just wondering. Because, you know, people's hair dye sometimes runs, Rudy. Anyway, so there's that. There's that.
Yeah.
Then here's on your in your neck of the woods, we have Ron DeSantis.
Oh,
right?
God. Yes.
Yeah. So here's two things. There were two images tweeted by Jameson Fozer, who I really like. The first one from May 20th, 2020 says, where does Ron DeSantis go to get his apology about COVID? Uh-huh. And then the next one is from August 22nd from Vincent RK. It says, Florida becomes the first U.S. state where the daily deaths in current wave have exceeded previous waves. So Jameson says, I'm sorry, Ron DeSantis sucks. How's that for an apology?
Yes. And here's the official Florida song.
Florida.
By the way, somebody named John Cooper tweeted, a new poll.
I know who John Cooper. We follow each other.
Oh, cool. A new poll shows Governor Ron DeSantis's favorability ratings underwater as Florida endures another surge in COVID-19 infections. It also shows DeSantis trailing both Charlie Crist and Nikki Fried in a potential matchup for governor. Please, 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 please. And I read somewhere else that I believe Marco Rubio is underwater, too, because he's also up in 22.
Well, I tweeted about this being underwater thing yesterday and got retweeted 400 and 500 times.
Wow.
I didn't think of it. I just said, way to go, DeSantis, or something over pretty much what you tweeted or what you just read. And it just went all over the place. So, yay. Meanwhile, speaking of elections, Oliver Willis said, you can see the midterm shitstorm coming and absolutely nothing being done about it. Yep. And Ellie Mistal replied, the return to Republican control will make moderate Dems happy. They'll be able to go back to complaining about things without having the responsibility to actually fix anything.
Oh,
and then my friend, Revolt3D, said, the GOP won't certify the 2024 results. Then what? Dems issue a golly gee press release. I mean, we are in big, deep trouble here.
We really
are. And people are not taking it as seriously as they should.
And then listen to this. There's a guy named Jim Stewartson, anti-fascist, by the way, who tweeted, 9% of Americans believe use of force is justified to restore Donald Trump to the presidency. Over 25% believe the election was stolen and Joe Biden is illegitimate. 8% or 21 million people believe both.
Yep.
The report refers to them as adamant insurrectionists.
Absolutely. I saw the very same tweet or somebody else tweeted the same
thing. There's a whole thread. There's more to it. I mean, it's frightening.
And it scares the hell out of me. I mean, this is the problem, is that there's millions of people who believe in all the terrible stuff we've been talking about forever. You know, voter suppression, changing the election results. They're racist. They're insurrectionists. You name it. I do understand it, but I can't. It's mind-boggling.
You know, I don't even want to think about it. We don't need to talk about it. But here's the problem. Yes, we do. Because ignoring them will not make them go away. They will just continue to grow. And with the internet, they can keep growing. And this is really bad. This is really,
really
scary.
And I'm going to make you laugh because we're upset right now.
Please.
Because it's getting toward the end of the show and I need to make you.
Yes.
Oops. Attorney General Paxton, you know, of Texas.
Yeah.
He said, quote, this is from Law and Crime News. Okay. A.G. Paxton committed no crime. Texas Attorney General clears himself of bribery accusations in an unsigned report.
Of course.
The FBI did not immediately respond to an email requesting comment on the status of the investigation or the Bureau's reaction to Paxton's report. So basically he said, I'm innocent. I know this because I said so.
Yeah.
It's like Trump investigating himself.
Right. Yes. or whoever investigating themselves. This is what they.
Here. So Adam Klasfeld says, scathing statement from the legal team representing the ex-aides suing Paxton, reacting to the quote half-baked self-exoneration. Here's the quote. This is a big fat quote.
Okay.
Let me make you little so I can read it. The takeaway from this internal report is that although Ken Paxton remains under active federal investigation, the people who still work for Paxton say he did nothing wrong. Notably, whoever in Paxton's office wrote this report was not willing to put their name on it. Of course, the one-sided internal report is full of half-truths, outright lies, and glaring omissions. It is a half-baked self-exoneration by Paxton, who continues to use taxpayer dollars to delay and hide from the simple document requests and depositions and pay private lawyers to keep the federal investigation quiet. The truth will come out, but you won't get it from Ken Paxton.
Well, wah, duh. Wah.
And there you go. So yes, they had a nice big fat reaction.
Ah, okay. Oh, our clocks are not in sync. Progressive Voices has already dumped us and it's now just 6 o'clock. So the clocks get out of, oh well, sorry, bye Progressive Voices. So here we are again. Well, Laffy, always fun. We miss you. Yay. When you're not here.
I miss you too.
Oh. Tomorrow, I won't be here. I'm taking a personal day, a beach day. I'm going to hang with my kid. So we're going to replay the show, audio only, from Inauguration Day. You can listen at NicoleSandler.com/listen-live or ProgressiveVoices.com or you know, NicoleSandlerStream.com. Or, you know, come back on Thursday. I'll be back.
There's an idea.
had to add like Wednesday, Tuesday. Yeah. Thursday. I'll be back Thursday. And Laffy, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Maybe
I
next
guess
week?
So. I'll let you know.
Okay. You'll let us know. All right. Okay. So I told you yesterday my little problem with the intro to What's News. So I sort of created a new one. I'll leave you with the news. I'll see you Thursday. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, neither side blinked. So the House, late Monday, postponed a planned vote on advancing a $3.5 trillion budget resolution. It's a key part of President Biden's economic agenda. But there's a group of 9, well, now 10, conservative Democrats. They gained a member in Stephanie Murphy of Florida. Anyway, they were the holdouts, refusing to agree on a path forward for the budget resolution and a separate bipartisan infrastructure bill. So the House reconvenes on Tuesday when they'll try to strike a deal to get this thing going. The Senate has already approved the infrastructure bill and the larger budget blueprint. The 10 Democratic holdouts, led by Representative Josh Gottheimer of New Jersey, are demanding that the House pass the bipartisan bill before they authorize the Democrats to write the larger package. But Nancy Pelosi, with Biden's approval, tied the bills together to keep both sides of the party invested in this success. Leaders are now hoping to put the rule to a vote on the floor around noon on Tuesday. We'll see. This one's precarious. Turning to Afghanistan, a Taliban spokesman on Monday warned the U.S. not to leave any troops in Afghanistan after the August 31st deadline for a full withdrawal, saying that would be crossing a red line that would amount to, quote, extending occupation. President Biden has said he'd consider keeping some military forces in the country beyond the deadline to ensure that all Americans could be evacuated. Despite the harsh criticism of the evacuation efforts by the media, it's actually going better than expected. The latest set of evacuation numbers are impressive. From 3 a.m. Eastern Time Monday to 3 a.m. Eastern Time Tuesday, 21,000 people were evacuated from the Kabul airport, 12,700 on U.S. military flights, plus 57 coalition flights carrying 8,900 people. That brings the total to 58,700 evacuated since August 14th, and 63,900 people evacuated since the end of July, and not one casualty. President Biden has to decide by Tuesday whether to extend the August 31st deadline. Meanwhile, Biden is convening the G7 leaders Tuesday in an emergency summit to discuss this August 31st deadline. It's expected that a few international leaders, including British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, are likely to encourage President Biden to extend that deadline. About 6,500 people are still waiting at the Kabul airport for evacuation flights, and countries are still trying to figure out how to accommodate incoming Afghan refugees. Well, this could help. The CEO of Airbnb, Brian Chesky, called the situation one of the biggest humanitarian crises of our time, and he pledged free housing for 20,000 refugees. And now, the Washington Post is reporting that CIA Director William J. Burns held a secret meeting Monday in Kabul with the Taliban's leader, Abdul Ghani Baradar. It's the highest-level face-to-face encounter between the Taliban and the Biden administration since the militants seized the capital. Well, at midnight Monday night, Andrew Cuomo's resignation as governor of New York took effect. A few minutes later, Kathy Hochul was sworn in as the new governor, making her the first woman in New York history to hold that job. It also makes New York the largest state in American history to be led by a woman. By the way, Andrew Cuomo's last tweet as governor was about his dog, saying that the reports are false, that he and Captain are a team, and Captain's going nowhere without him. Oh, and at 12:01 a.m., just 1 minute after Cuomo left office, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio tweeted a photo of the New York City skyline with a five-word caption, "Greatest city in the world." All righty then. So the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection has been working. We learned on Monday that they're seeking electronic records related to the attack, including phone records from members of Congress. More specifically, they seem to be looking into a series of calls between those Republican members, including Jim Jordan and Kevin McCarthy, and former President Trump. The U.S. Capitol Police Office of Professional Responsibility on Monday determined that the conduct of the officer who shot and killed January 6th rioter Ashley Babbitt was lawful and within department policy, which says that an officer may use deadly force only when the officer reasonably believes that action is in defense of human life, including the officer's own life, or in the defense of any person in immediate danger of serious physical injury. Obviously, the officer was protecting Congress. The department said that the officer will not be named out of consideration for the officer's safety. So the Food and Drug Administration on Monday granted full formal approval for the Pfizer-BioNTech coronavirus vaccine. This makes the Pfizer vaccine the first to win that designation in the U.S., potentially opening it up to more businesses and schools who can now impose vaccine mandates. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.